This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And one of the prevailing narratives throughout the pandemic has been that as the poor or the middle class have been feeling the squeeze of the pandemic on all facets of our lives, in many instances, the rich have been getting richer. And I think that we've seen this contribute towards the kind of it kind of feeds into all the protests that we saw throughout last year, right? While the central topic may not have been about wealth, sooner or later, that income disparity, that inequality would enter the picture. Now, to address some of this and to address really the moral question of billionaires, some billionaires and other members of the uber rich have pledged to donate at least half their wealth, either during their lifetimes or in their wills. And a South Korean food app founder and his wife, Kim Bong-jin and Bomi Sul, are the latest to join this pledge, which is why we're talking about it today. So the central question here, I think, is what is the impact when the uber rich give away their fortunes, especially because this is contingent on individuals deciding that they want to do good as opposed to being pressured to do so by any external party?
Yes. So they are part of what is called, they've just become a part of what is called the Giving Pledge Initiative. And this was actually started back in 2010 by Warren Buffett, Bill and Melinda Gates. And the idea was, of course, to get the world's richest people to give away more than half of their wealth. And this can be pledged either during their lifetimes through various initiatives, starting foundations and so on, or it can be left in their wills. And as you said, the South Korean billionaire is not the only person to have joined. There have been other people on this list as well in the past, people like Richard Branson, Diane Van Fustenberg, Elon Musk, one of their most famous joinees. Is that the right word? Pledges, perhaps.
Pledges.
Yeah. Mackenzie Bezos, not Jeff Bezos, it has to be said. Mark Zuckerberg, his wife, and his wife Priscilla Chan. But I think this does... It goes back to this idea of how much does this mean in terms of what it, you know, when applied into the world's problems, right? Because there isn't a lot of data to track the impact of the giving pledge. And that has been one of the criticisms that has been thrown to these sorts of initiatives. The fact that it has more of a moral obligation rather than what you said earlier, this idea that you are sort of held to some kind of a pledge.
Yeah, so a couple of things, right? There are some instances where pledges have made good on their promises. We have Azim Premji from India, who has donated $21 billion, Chuck Feeney, $9 billion, and of course, the originators of it all, Warren Buffett and the Gateses, have contributed $90 billion. So that's no small amount of money. And the idea is that in participating in the pledge, it gives the uber wealthy some ideas, some best practices on how to give better, on making it a central part of their lives and their financial strategy, I think, to some degree. However, the measurable impact of it, I think, is a question. You can point to some names being successful, but if we look at the actual dollar amount that we're talking about, then these some names don't amount to enough, right? And in fact, on the fifth anniversary of the pledge, Bloomberg analyzed the estates of 10 pledges who died and found that most hadn't given away half before they died. And so analysts have said, on the whole, it has failed to turbocharge philanthropy. I do also think that there is a separate question about how to give appropriately, because when you're giving away amounts that of the kind that we're talking about, right? Mechanisms need to be in place, because we have also heard of charities and organizations being completely overwhelmed by a sudden influx of donations. We see this whenever their causes are highlighted in the press, and then suddenly they're overwhelmed and they actually can't deal with it. It sounds like a first world problem, but it's a very real one, especially for places that might be running on a shoestring budget anyway.
Now, I don't want to downplay, of course, the impact of people signing up for something like this. You know, some of the causes that have already been supported include things like education, reproductive rights, climate change, improving the lives of children, immigration reform, science, animal welfare. But that said, I think there is a case to be made here also about how that dollar amount translates. Because, as you said, a lot of pledges can sign this pledge and then What does half of it mean? What, when do they donate it? How are you held accountable for these numbers? And how much of this is actually just a case of publicity? Because as rightfully we are talking about it now, when a billionaire pledges for something like this, it does add a certain amount of pedigree to their name, which may not eventually pan out to relatively making as big of a difference as they seem to imply.
Yeah, also tax exemptions.
Yes, so, oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah,
let us not forget. So essentially, I think what we're looking at is, firstly, do they, and when I say they, I mean the uber rich, the billionaires, the multimillionaires, do they have an obligation to donate their money to society? Some people argue that as a whole, the idea that billionaires exist is perhaps, you know, there is no moral argument for why they should exist. So we want to talk about whether they should be pledging their money back to society, but also how impactful that actually is on this sort of individual basis. Let us know what you think. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be speaking with Jayant Menon, who is the Visiting Senior Fellow at the ICS Yusof Ishak Institute. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about whether or not the uber rich have an obligation to donate their money back to society, and how impactful that can be, especially because at the moment, at least if we look at something like the Giving Pledge, it is more of a loose moral obligation than something that is necessitated by law or taxes. So we want to know what you think. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio, where we also have a poll running on this subject. In the meantime, just looking at the results of the poll so far. So the question was, do the uber rich have an obligation to donate their money to society? And broadly speaking, so 42% are saying yes. 42% each are saying yes and separately just pay taxes. And a mere 14% are saying no.
I mean, I don't think that's necessarily surprising, but the just pay taxes is interesting because I wonder whether that feeds back into what we've been talking about, that at least taxes, if compelled and kept to, is a way to make sure that they are at least accountable for that amount.
Yeah, but I think the other thing is, I think some people may disagree, depending on where you are in the world, with governments getting that money. Because, of course, when it's taxed, what that means is it goes into government coffers, and then it depends on the administration in question, whose politics you may or may not agree with, right? And it falls to them to then disperse the funds. So I think that there is this question, even with taxes, I go back and forth on this. So much as I'm uncomfortable with huge amounts of money going to grassroots organizations that may not be best placed to then disperse it, there's equal issues going with the government route as well.
No, I agree. And I think the thing with taxes also is that most of us don't operate in these circles. Most of us don't know what it's like to be in that stratosphere of millionaire or billionaire. But the sheer amount of loopholes that exist for people who are operating at that level, not necessarily just here, but globally, means that often they may not be more accountable than, say, something like a pledge anyway.
Yes. So again, let us know, do you think the uber rich have an obligation to donate their money to society? And do you have any ideas on how best that could happen? Say these individuals decided that they're all for it. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And now I think we do have with us Jayant Menon, Visiting Senior Fellow at the ICS Yusof Ishak Institute. Jayant, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. So, firstly, I think one of the main questions is, what impact does it actually have when the uber rich make pledges like the one that we're talking about?
Well, when they make the pledges, I guess they feel a lot better making them. But the question is whether, you know, everyone who's supposed to benefit will actually receive what they pledge they will provide. You know, this is a one-way transaction as far as charity is concerned, by and large. So we really need them to deliver on pledges, I guess.
So is there a way to make that deliverable? I mean, is there a need to tighten this legally? What form might this take?
Well, I think the first thing we can do is to recognize that, pure charity is very rare. People pledge these sorts of things, often with something else in mind as well, apart from self-satisfaction. Very often there can be substantial tax benefits. There can always be tied aid. In other words, things are provided, but there are conditions involved. We see that most often with governmental aid. It's never, a one-way transfer purely. There are usually some conditions involved on the side of the recipient. So I think we have grounds to try and make them accountable. At one level, it's a bit like politicians promising all kinds of things before they get elected. And then once they get elected, how do we make sure that they actually keep their promises? It's not easy, but I think we need to think of, effective ways of keeping them accountable, sure.
So this may sound like a simplistic question, but I think that it's important to kind of get a handle on it. How do billionaires and the companies they run actually contribute to wealth disparity, and how does the pledge in question address that, if at all?
The fact that we have billionaires and, corporations that are sometimes bigger than countries is a sign of wealth inequality itself. These are outcomes that very, obvious, reflecting a lot of wealth inequality. The question is, how did that come about? There are different ways in which you can get rich, if you like. There are legal ways, but there's also lots of ways of actually getting rich legally, but perhaps not socially acceptable. This is what, it's a fine line. The legal issue is a bit clearer. If you break the law, there are remedies and there are means of actually addressing those issues. But there's this idea of regulatory capture where, those in power write the rules, and the rules can be set up in a way that continues to help the rich get richer while leaving the rest behind. And that's what we need to be careful about.
So zooming out a little bit into the idea of philanthropy itself, historically speaking, is philanthropy an effective or impactful way to do good, to effect change?
I think if you look at history, there are lots of good examples of how philanthropy has had a lot of positive impacts. You can go back, we can talk about the Rockefellers in the U.S. or, more in our current day and age, Bill Gates and his foundation working with the World Bank and every other type of donors doing a lot of very good health work in the poorest parts of the world, in Africa and so on. So there are many good examples of philanthropy doing good works. But I think the question is, how can we rely on it to continue in a way that satisfies needs? Again, philanthropy is voluntary. And so you can't actually plan a certain amount of philanthropy on a year-by-year basis or country-by-country basis. It all happens if and when people choose to do it. And so that's the problem. Otherwise, it's a great thing.
Of course, one way to not oblige, but one way to create that system would be to create legislation, to create taxation and the like. So how does it affect us all when it's left to wealthy individuals to make individual decisions as opposed to it being under the purview of government?
Right. I think we have to be careful here not start thinking of charity or philanthropy as a substitute for the role that government has to play. in addressing various social responsibilities to the public, to taxpayers. So these are not substitutes. I think first and foremost, governments should try and discharge the obligation to provide the public goods that we expect from them, and also the social goods, the outcomes that we expect. There are lots of spillovers from having an unequal society that can lead to crime and all kinds of social ills that we need to guard against. And first and foremost, government should try and do this. The philanthropists can come in to support that effort, but not replace that role. And that's how we should think of it.
So what about the question of accountability? Now, whether the money is going to the government or to a charitable organization, accountability is an important factor when dealing with large amounts of money. How can we deal with this?
Absolutely. I think this is a big problem. We've seen many cases of, so-called charitable organizations actually being front for various other things, for, raising revenues to fund political campaigns and, similar things. So there is a need for oversight. Very often people tend to have the impression that because it's charity, we should just be grateful for whatever we get. I don't think we should, stick to that kind of approach. Like I said, very often, there's a lot of good work being done for purely charitable purposes, but there's also tied aid that we need to be careful about. And this is where, funds are being raised from the public, especially, the need for accountability is greater. But even when it's not, I think because there are tax benefits and so on, governments need to ensure that these sorts of monies are spent for socially useful purposes and not, socially harmful purposes.
Now, Jayan, there is an argument that it's simply morally wrong for anyone to be able to amass as much wealth as some of these individuals have, and that, in fact, it is the product of an unethical world that billionaires even exist. Would you agree with that, or how would you respond?
Well, issues of morality are quite difficult to actually, talk about in analytical terms. I mean, people's morals can vary. And what seems, socially acceptable to one group of people might not be to another. But I think there is, we can't divorce morality from social economic outcomes. We need to try and think about, these sorts of spillovers again, how you don't want to be very rich and then living in an isolated, guarded community, always worried about being shot or killed or being robbed. That's not, a great society, even if you happen to be rich in that society. So having a fairer distribution of wealth and income does provide for better quality of life for everyone. And I think the rich who are in a better position to address that problem can do a lot more for purely selfish reasons to ensure that the society we live in is one where we can all, take a lot of things for granted. At the moment, very rich societies have lots of social ills because of rampant inequality. And that needs to be addressed, I think, for both the rich and the poor.
So, Jayanth, we just have under a minute left, but with COVID-19 actually increasing this income gap, the wealth gap around the world, do you think this sense of it being immoral to be this rich is going to pick up momentum?
I think COVID is shining a spotlight on existing inequalities. It's making us see them more clearly because they're playing out in different ways, but it's also increasing those inequalities. And I think going forward, we will be forced to confront these rising inequalities and try and address them to ensure that, you know, they don't get worse. And as much as possible, we start reversing some of the worst disparities in society. It's going to be difficult initially because we'll have so much, so much work to do in just getting back to where we were to begin with when this pandemic finally ends. But down the road, I think we will be forced to try and deal with the root causes of these types of inequalities and what's driving them rather than just the outcomes. So, that's the challenge, I think, once the dust settles and once we finally get over this pandemic.
Jane, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you also, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Same here. So that was Jane Menon, Visiting Senior Fellow at the ICES Yusof Ishak Institute, talking about billionaires and the uber rich, our favorite Friday subjects, but more specifically looking at the fact that some of them have pledged to donate at least half their wealth. Is this something that all of them really should be doing, and how can we ensure that this goes to the right places? Keep those thoughts coming. We'll return to them after the 5:30 news. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.